Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
It's Michael, nice to see you.
Good to see you, boys. Good morning.
You look tired, Mikey.
I went out last night, Bob. I don't go out anymore.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Celebrate the Bears draft night.
No, not at all. I, you know what it was is that I, you know, me and Mike Coogs, my best friend from around here, we like started like meeting these other dads from like our son's football team, and like we like got together on Friday night. They canceled our practice because of the rain in the area. We met we really started talking to these dads for the first time. So yesterday morning we hit it off, and yesterday morning we sent out like a group chat, group message, and they were like, "Should we go out tonight and have a boys' night?" Which doesn't happen ever. Never, ever, ever. And we all started asking our wives for permission one by one, and it was like kids asking for permission slips. And we all got the permission slip, the green light, and we all went out. We were watching the Knicks. We were watching, obviously, you know, the UFC. We were watching the NHL. And everything we were playing, it was like, it was one of those nights where everything we put in, it was like the magic sauce. Everything hit. Everything. Beginning to the end of the Sterling fight, the main event of UFC. Shout out Prize Picks. That was, I mean, it was one of those nights, man. Just one of those nights. It was absolute magic. I know you guys were talking about that putting green. When Bob put up that first story of that putting green, I didn't realize that it like moved up and down.
It's automatic.
Like that. And then when he posted the story the second day of it, and he was like, "You see that, Squirtle? You see that? See what that just did?" I'm looking at it. I'm like, "Holy shit!" I'm like, "It's fucking like undulating itself or whatever,
yes.
Whatever you call it." I'm like, "It's unbelievable."
It's the TGL technology.
That's what Bob told me. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's the same thing. And then like, what we could do for like a Bob HQ video that I was thinking about doing, you could do beer pong with putts. So like the cups are on the putting green, and then you putt it, and once it goes in the cup, it removes that cup. So the amount of
it's like on the screen. It's like a screen thing.
It is,
and then it just removes it itself. You don't actually put anything on it.
Yes, it is the craziest.
It's holographic.
It's wild. I've been going through a awful Joe Solid start. Like I had been playing. I think the best golf I've ever played. We were filming a video and I shanked one ball, and there's nothing worse than like cold shanking a ball. Could not get over it. Like shank after shank after shank after shank. I grinded in the HQs there for about 2.5 hours yesterday because you could like grind on the machine trying to get these shanks out to where I actually think going on that machine, I think from a putting standpoint, but also from the simulator, I think we can actually get better now. Now, we've had everything at our disposal, but I think now, Pete, when you go to that sim, I think the sim will help you get better. It's not the same thing, but I will be grinding there. If you're ever wondering where I am, I'm there.
It's funny because you can actually play actual courses. So I was like, oh, Bob, what course are you playing? And he wasn't even playing a course. It was just an empty driving range. Like, it was just, and there was, it shows the trajectory of the shots, like, you know, and there's hundreds of shot trajectories on an open playing field. I'm like, you're not playing a course, or you're not like
reps in, dude.
He's just hitting the ball hundreds of times.
It was like an airport runway. There was
it's crazy.
Big shout out to the fine folks over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks, the official sponsor of the Brilliantly Dumb Show, all things the Brilliantly Dumb Show and more. Mikey Draft Nights, I do. That was, I thought Mikey was going to, I think my biggest plays of the year, I thought Mikey Draft Nights was going to come through. So, and I really did like
Reese. You hit him?
Well, like, I thought for sure that it was going to, no, they both, it was an 0 for 2. I thought, Mikey, you were going to come out firing. Another thing that we got to discuss, then with Prize Picks, can we say the Diego Pavia thing? Because I feel for him. I feel bad. Am I allowed to say it? We saw him at UFC, and he said, I'm not going to go past the Panthers on the second round. So I kept that in mind.
Second round or second day, whatever he says. Either the second round or the second day, which would mean he would have got drafted on Friday, or he would – yeah, he would have got drafted Friday, yeah, second round, and second day. Yeah,
I feel bad for him. He was, I know he's been in a lot of controversy, but he was really nice with us. Mikey's been with him from the jump. That sucks to see. He didn't get drafted. I thought the Reese play was going to be awesome of when he was going to get drafted as well. But, Mikey, that is your prime time.
Yeah, Bailey, I'm surprised that the Jets went with Bailey. Even more surprised that just another guy that I think could be an elite pass rusher just falls to the Giants, right in the Giants' laps. I mean, the Giants have, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, Abdul Carter, and now Arvell Reese. It's just an embarrassment of
edge. They're going to be good next year, too, with Harbaugh at the helm. I mean,
yeah, Dart in his second year. You know, and then again, at pick 10, I was surprised that they didn't take Caleb Downs. I thought they would have took Caleb Downs at 10. They let him go to the Cowboys, and I think that was like a thing. Oh, the Giants fans were up in arms about how they let Downs go to the Cowboys the very next pick
when they didn't take him. Funny, though, I think I'm saying it to you, Joe, is that the NFL draft, it's like a fantasy football thing to where, like, after you select your fantasy football team, it gives you, like, the grade on how you did. So some people would be like, oh, yeah, you know, they're saying that the Jets were, like, an A-. It's like, you have no idea what the Jets are going to – you know, like, the Giants could have had the worst draft of all time. You could you think it's going to be something, you know what I mean? But, like
– it's so funny that people who go to the draft and then they're up in arms because – they drafted a guy that they can't comprehend. Like when Josh Allen got drafted, they were the crowd was booing. And now he's like Mr. MVP, the best quarterback in the league. Like you just don't know, right? Like you don't know. I will say this. I do understand the frustration. Like if you have weaknesses at a certain position or like on defense, on offense, and then the team doesn't address those needs and then draft a completely like the Bears, for example, Mikey, with the third pick to take a tight. I'm not trying to throw salt in the wound, but like.
No, you're not.
You know, but I'm just saying the only thing I could think of is like they probably won't be re-signing Cole Kmet now because like why would you draft a third tight end when you have Loveland, who's going to be one of the best tight ends in the league?
Well, I mean, I could break it down for you, but I think it's a little too much for the show to break down, honestly. I wouldn't go into detail.
Lord knows you like to break down the draft.
Yeah, I do. I do. I enjoy it. But I won't go into it.
It's not to throw shade at the Bears. I'm just saying, like, because I'm saying that you had mentioned it to me, like, when a team does that, they need help either on the line or defense. And then they don't address that. That's the time where I would understand why fans would be pissed off because it's like we have a glaring weakness in a certain area and they're not addressing it. Unless the player they get is just so fucking unbelievable that you can't turn away and take them. But
I thought the Bears should have went defense earlier. They didn't. And yesterday, which we're recording on Sunday, so Saturday, the final day, rounds 4, 5, 6, 7. They went all defense. Every pick was a defensive player, which was, I think, the right thing. They got a corner from Texas that I think is going to do very well for them. Good D tackle. But I thought that the Jets, I like the tight end they got from Oregon. I think I talk about Kenyon Sadiq. I thought his tape, I thought he was awesome At the end of the year for Oregon, I thought he was an absolute stud. The problem with the Jets for me is that you don't have a quarterback, and I don't think the head coach is going to be there next year. So I don't know what kind of system you're going to run with a tight end. Like, taking a tight end is a very much like, it's got to work in your system, and I just don't know, like, if Glenn's going to be there after this season. I just don't think Aaron Glenn will be
you
there.
You probably hope he isn't, to be honest.
Well, that's Bob's hope. I don't know. You know, I could care less, but I'm just saying.
After every Jet, I think I texted you guys that after every Jet pick for the last 10 years, they select the player and it just goes quiet. And then Kuiper will be like, this is a surprise. Like, it's just never the pick that everybody thought. It's always a fucking surprise, you know? But look, what are you going to do? I get a kick out of, like, Mikey, following your Twitter on draft night, I think, is the funniest thing.
Oh, it's lit up, brother.
Well, just too, like, Mikey will, like, ripe, like, you'll see. I'm telling you, Mikey, I will watch your Twitter more than anything on draft night because you'll see the commissioner coming out. Like, you'll see Goodell coming out to make the pick. And then Mikey will tweet out really quick. He'll be like, Raiders are taking Fernando Mendoza.
There you
like,
go, baby.
Bob, I saw it live last year. We were at the draft. He was like, like they were walking on the stage. He's like, I got a leg up.
See, I would like
because it's that live. it was fascinating to watch. And then he was so pissed at the Bears didn't take what's his name, the tight end from Penn State. When they took Loveland instead of what's his name?
Oh, Warren. And, yeah. I was surprised.
He was good. This fucking team, man. He went ballistic, Bobby.
You know
so
why? Because Loveland, I hadn't seen Loveland. He was hurt that year. If you remember, he didn't play that year. So I hadn't seen him play in over a year. And shout out, Colston Loveland is the fucking second coming of Travis Kelce.
He's unbelievable.
Dude, I take the entire night. Like, I'll take the, like, Mikey put out 2 hours before the second rounder. He goes, reminder for all the hashtag Bears fans. They have 2 second-round picks and a third 89 tonight. It's the greatest thing. I can't get enough of it. I just eat it up.
I think that in overall, I think I've really backed off like overdoing like football. Like I really have like the volume of stuff I put out about football is not nearly what it used to be. But draft night does get me going. Like,
it does.
I think in a perfect world, I would become a hybrid of the next Joey Chestnut and Adam Schefter. That would be like my dream job, to be some kind of a hybrid child of Adam Schefter and Joey Chestnut.
Well, by the way, we've had Adam Schefter on the show. Now he's kind of screwed you. But now in recent transpire.
What do you mean?
He gave you the news.
Oh,
about
the Tyreek Hill thing.
That was kind of a screw job. It was like, listen, no one's coming for Schefter's throne anytime soon. But then in recent translations, we have had a Joey Chestnut following Mikey V. So there's a very likely possibility that maybe we get Joey Chestnut on the show.
I want to go wing for wing with Chestnut, not against him, because I know I can't beat him. Listen, I can't beat Chestnut. Nobody's beaten Joey Chestnut.
Like a tag team.
How many wings we could take down in an NFL halftime? I think would be one of the most funny things, because wing wise, I could just go. Like last night, we were eating wings, and even the guys at the table were like, "Bro, like what the fuck is wrong with you?" I was like,
"No,
yeah,
I have a question. Very important question, Mikey, for the challenge." No, for the
blue cheese, Bobby. Blue cheese.
Yeah, really.
We had blue cheese. Yeah, you know. Shout out Marzetti Ranch. Shout out. I always go Marzetti Ranch. But.
I'll take a bottle of Marzetti.
Yeah, that was terrible. I knew I was gonna get fucking.
Somebody wrote Bob on Twitter. That. They're like, Mikey, whatever they're paying you, it's not enough.
Yeah.
Hey, look, dude.
We've all sold out.
I have had my fair share. I mean,
we've all sold out.
I'll have a bottle of Marzetti.
It's all right. I brought my own.
Yeah, listen.
And then he put it on the ice cream. I was like, oh,
that was tough, by the way. Yeah, that was tough. That was tough. But, you know, that's why I had to soften the blow and tell you guys about it before I put it out, because I knew
it was self-reporting.
So...
It was a good self-reporting.
But I'll be honest, I didn't think it was as bad as you made it sound.
Thank you.
It was,
well, I appreciate that.
It was definitely bad, but it wasn't like – we've all sold out. We like it's not like we
don't say we've all sold out. It sounds so fucking bad. We haven't sold out. But the bottom line is this: if you're in this business, part of the business, Richard, if you're in this business,
you'll sell out.
No, but like people expect, like they want you, like people. It amazes me. People are like, Mike, you got to go full time. You got to go full time. You got to do this. How the fuck am I supposed to do that if I'm not doing things like that to get paid? You know what I mean? True. Like,
well, that's also why like, I get the people who are upset about the ads on the podcast, but like the real ones who know that, like if you're trying to go full time, Mikey, and you want to like get rid of your job, like those ads, they go a long way to like put money in our pockets. So it's like, in one sense, you want to understand what people are saying. You don't want to be like a total sellout, but at the same time, you know, yes, you got to take advantage of opportunities. But
and by the way, there's plenty of podcasts out there that are on, I've seen, are on like Patreon, where you have to subscribe to access the podcast. 100%. You have to pay. So it's like, we don't do that. So it's like, and then I saw somebody on Twitter, because somebody was complaining last episode about the amount of ads, and someone put under it, the guy should just go to Patreon. And then that guy quickly, who was complaining about the ads, was like, absolutely not. Well, it's like, you got to pick one or the other. And by the way, we're not doing that. I'm just saying, like, yeah, like it's not, whatever. But anyway,
well, even Joe Rogan will have, like, he'll start off his podcast. This is the biggest podcast in the world. It's not like he's short for money. He starts off the podcast with what, 10 minutes of straight advertisement. So it is what it is. But Mikey, I want to go back to the question before I forget. For this wing challenge, like, if you had to do, are you going drums because it's easier to eat, or are you going flats?
No, I could clean a flat out in very minimal time. I mean, a flat is very easy. I think
that's a good, because like we getting to see Mikey do the Spankies, like long form content, like more of a longer form challenge was fun. The thing with the big arch, it was such a high, it was such a rush, but it was over so quick. Like, so to see him do it for a long duration, I think would be fascinating. And by the way, great for prize picks.
Oh yeah. And then they also too, to see how many he could do in comparison to Chestnut would be really interesting.
Yeah, again, I think so. If we did like NFL halftime, like the game, the first half ends, boom, you go. You got to pick one game, and then you go for the duration of halftime, which is what, 15 minutes NFL halftime or whatever it is?
Yeah.
I think we could put down, between the two of us, I think we could put down well over 100. Easy. Well over 100 wings. Yeah. Easily.
I bet you he's done one before.
So he's the guy just, he's like, now I saw the other day, he like ate the most chocolate cake in the world.
Okay, I got the stat. You ready for this?
Yeah, it's going to be staggering. I know.
Record wing eating is Joey Chestnut for the most wings eaten.
This guy holds every significant record. It's unbelievable. Amazing.
Guess how many, he has a world record. Guess how many wings he ate in 10 minutes.
It's got to be something nuts. And honestly, honest to God, on my kids, I have no clue. I would guess in 10 minutes, 175.
Yeah, I'm going to go high. I'm going to go 200.
242 wings in 10 minutes. That is staggering.
I
almost want to watch that. That is 10 minutes. You're eating 24 wings a minute.
Yeah, that's impossible. That just seems like impossible. How does he not choke on one of the bones? That's got to be dangerous.
Maybe it's boneless. And talk to him. Like, I just would have so many questions for him. Like,
he follows all three of us. You should hit him up, Bob. He definitely. If you hit him up, he'll.
No. Do you think? Like, I just wonder what he does, like day to day. Like, what his day to day looks like. But does he train all the time?
I'm sure he does. He's doing all these different, it's not like he just, like some guys just do the hot dogs. He's doing hot dogs. He's doing, like when they announced
the cake. Did you see him do the chocolate cake against all the Tampa Bay Buccaneer offensive linemen? They had the entire Tampa Bay Buccaneer offensive line against him in a chocolate cake eating contest. He crushed five guys. He out-ate five guys. He's not of this world, man. He is.
If you look at like guys who are like the feats that they have accomplished in terms of like their focus of what they do, I think he's the most dominant athlete in any in any fucking realm of anything. No one's even close to him. Like, look, Tom Brady is like the best quarterback
of
all time.
Yes, he's the Gretzky, Brady, Jordan, LeBron.
100%.
Yes, Tiger, prime Tiger. He's that. He
did the one against the, who was the Japanese guy who was before
that? Kobayashi, and everyone thought he was the best.
He dismantled him, dude.
Yeah. Is Joe? You think Joey Chestnut's loaded?
He's got to be very.
He's
got to
have some big sponsors.
I would think so.
Yeah. And by the way, he's in good shape too. You would think by eating like that, he would just be like horribly obese.
You got to have the endurance. You got to have like you got to be the endurance, the stamina.
I mean, never mind. Even
passion.
Bob, imagine we brought him on to do an eating challenge for Bob to sports. Could you imagine?
I would love that. I just don't know if he empties the tank like that. I think it would be like, you know, asking LeBron to play one-on-one at Bob HQ. Like, the Lakers don't want him fucking.
Well, that's why I think it would be funnier to do – well, not funnier, but I think it would be like – it's like, you know, it's just how many can you do? It's not a contest. It's not him versus anybody. It's just let's see the number.
Yeah.
And as fast as I eat. Knowing that he did 240 wings in 10 minutes is like, I can't even.
But Mikey, you would still have to try to go as many as you could just to see.
But I would. I mean, you know what you're getting out of me. You know I'm not going to fucking lay. I'm not going to lay up on the wings. I'm not going to do that.
In 10 minutes you could do 70?
I don't know. The thing about that is like, I just like the speed, like I worry about like him choking on like a part of the bone or something.
I don't even think it comes to like, it's not like 70. I don't think is going to make you full. It's more of like precision.
Correct.
I mean?
Like, yeah. You got to have a really good setup on the table. That's why when he commented on the arch challenge, I was he goes, really veteran. He goes, something like really veteran move using the high top so you have access to your water or something like that. Was really good to hear. That was good to hear. You have to have the right setup. It's got to be set up right so you can access
things. That's pretty quickly. Like Brady telling an upcoming quarterback that he's got good form. I have to agree.
That's why in the amateur ranks of eating, I have to be up there in the world ranking of amateur eaters.
If Joey Chestnut's commenting that you're doing something impressive, imagine he mentors Mikey full time and he brings him on as like a protege.
I would watch. Also, with Prize Picks, which is going to be going on soon, we're going to have Mikey down for it. We're going to be doing the hole in one challenge as well with Prize Picks. And I talked to the Full Swing guys at the simulator. I asked them, I said, is a hole in one, is it like a legit, like, is it as hard as a normal, or is it like, you know, if you kind of get it in the circumference, it will go? And they're like, no, like it has to be like a true hole in one. So Prize Picks is going to be putting up the line soon on how long I think we'll be there is what they're doing.
But it's like once one of us does it, it's over.
Yeah.
Correct. Oh, correct. God. The thing we can't do though, that I've seen other channels do is like, they get so tired, they bring in like a ringer. Like, no offense, but like nobody's gonna want to see anybody else hit the hole in one. Like, it has to be one of us that hits it.
I even asked Prize Picks if they could put like odds on for each one of us to hit it. Like, what do they think? Like, how many X?
So bad.
What do you think yours would be, Mikey? Like 5X?
No, more. I would say more than that. I mean, and look, I want to say. Without
if it's
sounding,
under 140 yards in, though, Mikey, you'd have a chance.
Yeah, I want to. That's what I want to say. Like, I want to say that I found a little something in my swing with wedges, at least with my wedges and like a 9-iron and an 8-iron in that region. Still a total abortion off the tee box. Just an absolute disgrace off the tee box. But inside, the hands have been good. Putting's been good. Wedges have been a little
bit
dialed.
That's a good foundation.
Feels good. So, like, I want it, but I still would be obviously the biggest dog. The biggest dog by a wide margin.
Hey, how many of us would it be, Bob? It would be you, me,
Bob. You've been playing well, though. You've been playing well.
I've been playing great. You've been
playing great.
It all fucking collapsed.
You're fine, Bob. Don't even put that out there.
Yeah, I agree with Joe. Like, it was one bad
day. As someone who's been struggling for months, Bob, your game has been unreal. You don't want to put that to the universe that it's all falling apart.
It's not me put. Well, it's going to be out to the universe. There is an episode coming up. Bob the Sports, where you are going to see some shots. There is a shot, not to spoil it. Joe, I didn't even see it off the club. Joe saw it.
I did.
Joe sees everything. I've talked about that before. He's the best ball tracker
for a human being I've ever seen. He's a basset hound. He's a fucking basset hound.
Bro, this ball didn't just go to the side of me. This ball went behind me. This ball was shanked so hard that it starts right and just veers off behind me.
Bob, it was like that. That shot,
or the tee shot I hit with Gaethje and Cormier, where it almost killed the guy chipping area.
Which I never heard of this.
One of the absolute worst things.
Was this right out of the gate, like one of the first shots?
No. I would say it was around probably the turn.
All right, that's better. If it's the first shot of the day, there's no coming back.
And also too, we're with Gaethje in DC, which made it, I think, even like. Joe, he hit a ball that I'm telling you right now.
He almost killed a man, Joe.
And like, it's really actually not funny because he missed this guy's skull by an inch, and he was there with his son. It was one of
these. Call four.
There was no time. Like there was no.
Oh my God!
No, Mikey, don't you?
That would have been manslaughter.
No, there was no time. It was a fucking piss missile right off the game.
Bob, was it worse than the time that Jet hit the T marker and almost killed what's his name?
This ball came even closer to that, and that would have hit Jet's ball. Would have hit the guys in the stomach. If this ball hit this guy, it would have been horrible. Like,
gambles, Mikey?
Yeah.
The worst part is he had me, and like, of course, I couldn't let that go. Like, of course, once I saw it, I couldn't.
That's the worst person to screw up in front of because he will not
stop laughing. That round was one of the more like just bizarre rounds, start to finish, I've ever seen. Because my putter was white hot that day. I ended the round on the 18th hole. I hit like a 40-foot putt to end the round. It was insane.
We got waxed.
We got killed. We got killed. Yes.
But that putt was big because it would have been a lot worse.
Isn't Gaethje like a scratch golfer?
He's a fucking stick, Gaethje, man. He's fucking good.
I saw him. He like does backflips off the carts.
He's nuts. He's nuts.
Yeah. We started around the same. I played with him in Vegas. We started around the same. And in a matter of 2 years, he is 10 times the golfer that I am. He'll be in the Internet Invitational, which is really, really
fun. That's very cool. Yeah.
I was talking to Dave about the list yesterday.
Portnoy is a polarizing guy. Like even when we have the calls with him and he's a partner of ours, it's like you don't want to say like when FP sent the text, we had a funny thing. It was like we were talking about who was going to get the first video out. Yeah. And FP sent a text. He was like, thank God we got the first video. But he put it in the group chat with like Barstool.
Did you hear about that, Mikey?
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah. I don't remember the particulars, but I do.
I don't know if FP unsent the message, but then Portnoy, of course, saw it and he goes, oh, don't worry, for the next Internet Invitational, we'll make sure we get the first video.
It was really bad. It was really bad.
What did he tell you? He dropped to his knees?
FP, he liked it. So FP sent in the text. He's like, thank God we got the first video. And it was to the Internet Invitational. I called FP right away. He's like, yo. I was like, take it down. And he's like, what? I was like, wrong chat.
Oh, man.
And he unsends it. And then he said he started to panic so much that he just started like sweeping. Like he started sleeping in his house. Like
that'd be the first time he's ever cleaned the house by himself.
Yeah, he just was in panic mode, so he's sweeping. And then Dave sends in the text that he sees it, and FP had the mop, and he just dropped the
So good. I could see that too. Oh yeah.
He said to me, he's like, Bob, I will never write into that chat ever again. He's like, I'm done.
I could see, too, the way that FP falls. He would be on his knees, but his hands would still be at the top of the mop. You know what I mean? Like, he'd be down like this instead of just dropping it. Watching him when he fell down the stairs with the pizza and he just slowly just sat there and just didn't do anything. It was opposite of me. When I go down, Mikey, I spring up like a fucking – like, I don't want anybody to see that I'm in pain even if I'm hurt. Like with the garage door, you saw how fast I popped up. Like I will not stay down.
Yeah, I mean, like there's nothing like more like you have one of those like you're in public and you stumble or you're like it's one of the more brutal
favorite things in the world. It's his favorite
Yeah,
Bob so is, sick.
Bob is the worst, bro.
Bob said to me, he's like, I can't wait till someone has the first fall in HQ. Like, he just, he's like, it's like, it's what a so thing to sick, say, man. Dude. What
a thing to say. Dude, you know my favorite videos? I think we've said it before. The Sonic videos where they have the food and they're rolling out in the rollerblades when they go down. That is the greatest.
Yo,
that
dude. Is my no shit. One loves a good fall more than our guy.
Best. Yeah, nobody likes a little bit of, like, you know, light misfortune. Not like serious misfortune, but light misfortune.
When he saw me fall in the hotel, and Scott sent the video footage of me bailing when I was running to that elevator. I think Bob watched it like 50 times.
Well, dude, the funniest part is it's classic Joe. It's like he falls right in front of the service elevator, and right when he gets up, he blames the staff for the coffee spill. Like
there was Stella Artois that had spilled all over the floor.
Stella Artois.
All right, D-Man. D-Man's got an ad read.
All right. Yeah, we sure do. And you know what? This is a partner of ours that we've had for some time now. You want to talk partners? Let's talk mood. All right? Because the only mood I want is our mood. And mood is going to tell you right here, right now, that they think cannabis should be accessible, it should be affordable, it should be convenient and transparent. Mood. But most importantly, we believe in supporting the American farmers who make all this possible. Mood. Mood is relying heavily on us to go ahead and spread the good word. Direct users to visit website mood.com. They got gummies, they got flour, they got edibles, pre-rolls, and more. I got to tell you right here, right now, I tried the chill out gummies. Super smooth, Michael. Perfect for unwinding at your convenience at the end of the long weekend. No, Lord knows we like going into the clouds. Go ahead and use our promo code DUMB at checkout. That's mood.com/DUMB. Mood, you guys.
By the way, we really should address what's going on with Mood, man.
It's insane.
This guy, it's got to be, at this point, it's a rage bait account. It's got to be a rage bait account, because this guy went in front of the camera and broke down in tears.
Have you seen this, Bob?
He put out a video, Bob. He broke down in tears talking about how he used to be skinny and how he went viral because of his mukbang videos, but the price that he's had to pay because of what it's done to his body. And then he's like, so I have to go on a weight loss journey, you guys. I have to go on a weight loss journey, you guys.
All right, you guys.
15 fucking seconds later, this guy is throwing up videos reviewing Sicilian pizzas, tacos. It's just like, and he is getting destroyed for it. Destroyed.
Really?
Now,
some people
I don't
are saying it's
know.
Old videos.
Right. So, but like at one point, that well's got to go dry. Like, how many old videos do you have? Like, I don't know. But
it was viral. Like,
if it's not, it's the ultimate rage bait I've ever seen. It's the ultimate rage bait.
I'm worried about him, man.
Dude, he weighed himself on the video. He's like 540, bro, or 530. It's nuts.
Yeah, somebody said you should just go up to 600 and then go on the doctor now, the 600-pound journey.
I'm worried about him, man.
Yeah,
with that being said, how cool would it be to have him for like a Sunday stream, like NFL Week 1 moves there with us?
We got Joey Chestnut in one corner and Mood in the other. Oh, Bob would order the entire fucking slate of Jupiter's fast food.
He would have food trucks outside parked in the lots.
You know what he did
outside.
Last night, Michael? Do you know
Go
what he
ahead.
Did last night?
I would love to hear it. It's got to be filthy. Go ahead.
It's sick. So we're doing a stream.
He's acting like he doesn't know. It's
we're doing
be
a
bad.
It's bad. We're doing a stream, okay?
Yeah.
And he said to us, he's like, guys, I got to go for dinner. I may come back later. Not sure. Just run the stream and I'll see you after. So we start the stream up. We're about 20 minutes, 25 minutes into the stream, maybe half an hour. All of a sudden, he's in the chat. He's reading the chat. So he's following along on the stream. You know, it's his baby. That's his Bob HQ. And I understandably so. All of a sudden, he types in the chat, Mikey. He goes, blizzards are on the way, boys.
Oh, what a fucking jerk.
He's not even you there.
You are.
He sent, Mikey, there's four nice or five of us. He sent 12 blizzards.
A nice gesture.
That's a nice gesture, man. I was.
I tell you what, he does like his boys fat. It's confirmed.
He does, dude. He does. He's like right. Buffalo Bill. He fattens and up his Teddy, victims and then before he skins them, yes, he likes to get them yes. really fat.
He sure does.
Tom, they put the lotion, they put the blizzards yeah. in their mouth. They put the blizzards in the
or else he gets the hose again.
See, he doesn't know the reference, but it's so
funny though. It's no. fun.
But Mikey, you know the thing is, then Teddy goes and he eats the royal cheesequake, like the and Bob goes, that one was for Cutsy. The most fattening one of the whole bunch. That was for Cutsy.
Oh god. But Joe, you've been very outright about you outspoken.
It is my
about,
favorite. It is.
Yeah, I knew that.
But
was
it's your also
favorite.
One of the most fattening. It's got huge chunks of that cheesecake is true. Yeah. inside of it is with those strawberry it, swirl.
Did you mispronounce that, or is it called the cheesequake?
I think it's called the royal cheesequake. I think is what it's called. I could be
oh,
wrong.
Oh, the cheesequake! I could. Be it's wrong, an 8.7 on the Richter scale. The
Do you want to see how many calories are in this thing, Mikey?
Oh, I love. Love a calorie count. Man. I love one of my favorite things to do is to eat something really bad and then look at the calories after to just know how big of a piece
okay,
of
maybe
shit you are.
I think in Canada it's called the cheesequake. Here it's just called the cheesecake. It's a blend of their
wait. Hold on a second. Wait a minute, Petey. Hold
the
on.
Royal New York cheesecake.
It's not in Canada. They don't call it the cheesequake just because it's in Canada.
You can look it up. I think.
Oh, this guy is unfucking believable.
Mikey, ready? Ready for this?
Go ahead.
That's crazy.
This quote unquote royal treat is distinguished by its hidden core of filling, which allows for a customized flavor experience at every bite. A blend of their signature vanilla soft serve, real cheesecake pieces, graham cracker crumbs, ooh, all filled with a luscious strawberry topping center.
All right, what's the calorie count?
Okay, calorie count, and then the Canada thing is...
Yeah, I'd love to confirm that as well. That's horseshit.
Oh, my. You ready for this? Okay, we'll do a mini... Then we'll do
no,
the
no,
small.
No, do a mini. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah,
we'll do the medium, which is what I had. Well, Teddy had it last night. It's not going to help his physique. So the mini is 400. Mini is 450 calories.
Not bad.
The small is 750, and a large is 1100.
Yeah.
Oh my! That's not a large. It's a medium. It's a medium. That's
a medium is 1100.
Medium's 11, and the large is 1350, almost 1400.
Like, yeah, and then I sent a small fry with like 12 blizzards.
And we ate the fry.
It was yeah, little, I'm sure.
Like a little, it was like a little gag gift.
By the way, by the way, don't sleep on the Dairy Queen fry.
You like those fries, huh?
Pretty yeah, damn good. I hadn't had one. I was like, yeah. I took a couple.
What do you guys think about, like, you know that Greek place that I posted for Bob Des Bagels? I think I want to do the double-coated, like, diner fry. What do you think
yeah,
about that?
Yeah, the twice-fried
fry. I like
fry
that a lot.
Yeah, those yeah, are good because they're like, always crunchy. Are,
correct. Yeah. My only concern is they don't travel great, but not a lot of fries do. Like, I think maybe crinkle cut travels the best.
Yeah, I mean, fries are going to get soggy depending on no matter what, how you slice it, I would think. But the twice fried, I think no matter what, you're getting some level of crunch. Even in transport, I think you're going to get
those are like crunch. Bar fries. Those are really good, I think. Yeah. I think they're tremendous. Or like a diner fry. I think those are tremendous.
So you do like that play?
Yeah, they're crispy. Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong.
Today's episode of the Brilliantly Dumb Show is also brought to you by our friends over at Ridge. And listen, if you travel at all, and even if you don't, one thing about getting power to your phone, you got to be near the wall, you got to be near an outlet, you got to bring this fucking long annoying cord, you got to make sure that you have the adapter for the cord. Get one of these puppies. This is the Ridge Power.
Wow.
It's magnetic. It goes like that. Look at this. Right to the phone.
Oh, that's awesome.
Magnetic. It's got a kickstand on it. You could take the kickstand out to watch, you know, if you like to watch your phone, you could put it on the side like that. Oh. And then it's got your USB-C and it's got a lightning. So whatever you're working with, they got you covered both ways. They tuck right into the phone. There's no long dangly thing. And let me tell you something, this powers your phone fast. Like it works super fast. I bring it literally everywhere. I keep one in my car, bring it on the airplane when I travel. But even if I'm at home and I don't have access to like an outlet, I'm somewhere in the house, I just pop it in and it gives you power very quickly. It comes in the black, it comes in an orange, which I have one in orange, nice Bears orange, by the way, and a matte olive. It comes in a matte olive color, which is really sharp as well. So listen, these things, they look badass, like I said. They come with an LED charge status indicator that displays battery and charge levels at a glance, which it does right here. On the side, you could see it lit up right there. You could tell exactly how much power you're working with on the juice. I'm really telling you, I bought two of them. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
And if you don't
know, it connects to your phone too is so helpful because
it's the magnet. It stays right there. And by the way, this base here, right there, it'll charge the watch also. So if you have an Apple Watch, you could sit it right on this thing. It really does do it all. It's your one stop shop for power. And if you don't already have a Ridge wallet or the power bank, you really should. Slim, modern, RFID blocking, and built to last. So one thing to pack, five ways to power. You can find Ridge's power bank at Best Buy, or our listeners can get 10% off, which is nice, at ridge.com by using code BDS at checkout. Just head to ridge.com and use code BDS and you're all set. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you.
Very nice, Michael. Very, very nice. All right, let's go into our buy or sell. What did you see that you liked? What did you see that you did not like? If you boys don't mind, I have one that I've been very, very excited to say because I just feel very, very strongly about it. Yep. I'm going to buy heavy on a guy who I did not even know he was on the team. He must have been hurt. But I think in the NBA playoffs, you have got to have guys that are just dogs and play. Who's that, PD?
Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I am buying. No, he's right. I am buying Marcus Smart, dude. I think he is such a key reason the Lakers are having the success that they do. And when you watch these Laker games, like he is just – he's like – you know, Joe, remember you used to love watching Pat Bev, you know, just because he was such a menace?
Yeah. Yep.
Marcus Smart is better offensively. Like, he's scoring for them, but, like, he takes such a load off LeBron because I think it's such a big problem the Lakers had was they didn't play much defense. This guy is such a fucking dog. He's diving everywhere for balls. He's also such a likable guy. I am such a big Marcus Smart fan. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA right now. I remember they would stay at the hotel. He was such a nice guy and just a fucking dog. He had a very tough upbringing. I love him. I'm such a hard buy on him.
Marcus Smart, you'd argue, if he didn't make that first play on the when they were down six and he steals the ball, gets fouled from three, that game's over. Like, that game is 100%. It's not even. I know LeBron hit the game tying three. He got a steal too, but like that all started from him from that point.
Yeah, I totally agree. And was he hurt? I mean, because I hadn't seen him prior. He's like, he's back and he's such a huge, he doesn't quit. He's just amazing.
The Lakers, I was going to potentially buy the Lakers, but I'll change my buy. But the Lakers going into this series without Austin Reeves and without Doncic, I think. Now, Durant's been hurt a couple games, which has changed the course of it for sure. But even the game that Durant played, they lost. And I think the Lakers were plus 450 or more to win the series going into it. And then you look at the performances. LeBron has been incredible. Like, it has been so fun to watch him play. And I don't know, like, since he came on the show, I'm not saying we have anything to do with it, but I've been, no, but can I finish? Since he came on the
show. I didn't say a fucking word. You can't even laugh around here anymore. It's fucking insane.
There's chuckles insinuating that we had something to do with his resurgence. What I was going to say is since he came on the show, I've been watching more Lakers and more LeBron than I have all year. And it has been so unbelievably fun to watch him turn back the hands of time and have that dog. And he's playing like he did when the Cavs went and won the series and won the championship and beat the Warriors. He's playing unbelievable. Then you look at guys like Kennard and Smart and even like Hachimura and like DeAndre Ayton. They're all putting in work. Bronny's even playing good. It's impressive, man. And when they get Doncic back and Reeves, I wouldn't count this team out to go ahead and upset the Thunder. I know, Bob, you took them, the Thunder, to win the West, but the way that the Lakers are playing right now without their two best players, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The Thunder are so good, so they're going to have a test.
Someone last night when we were out, obviously, there was a gigantic Knicks contingent where we were. Like, it was all Knicks. It was just mobbed with Knicks fans. somebody said the NBA just wants it to be the Knicks and the Lakers in the championship. Like, could you imagine what it would be like if it was the Knicks and the this Laker team with LeBron at this point in his career against the fucking Knicks in the finals? It would be. I mean, look, everybody knows I'm not the biggest NBA guy by any means, but that would be truly must-see television if it was Knicks-Lakers, man. That would be sick.
I've been watching so much of the NBA playoffs, and, like, again, I'd be the first to say I really haven't watched much of the regular season. The path through the West is so much harder than when you watch the games on the East. Like, I think the East, you have the Celtics, but then – the Knicks, like, I don't see the Knicks being able to compete with, like, the Thunder or I think even the Lit. Like, it's just such a different path. But you're right. I mean, if it was, like, Lakers-Knicks, that would go fucking bananas.
I think the Pistons are down in the series to the Magic, aren't they?
Yeah, they
the
are.
The number one seed. Yeah, it's
Nuggets are down 3-1 to the Wolves. Yeah. Now, Anthony Edwards just got hurt. I don't know how bad. And DiVincenzo got hurt, so who knows. But I will say this, and whether you're a LeBron fan or not, I feel like it's one of the most polarizing. You're either a LeBron guy or you're not a LeBron guy because of the Jordan speculation of who's the best of all time. But I will say this, if at 41 years old he goes and wins a championship this year with this team, that argument becomes a lot more interesting of who's the best basketball player of all time, because what he's doing at his age and how he looks, he does not look 41. He looks like he's in his early 30s.
And I think people really dismissed, like, the last championship he won because it was the bubble year, the COVID bubble year. And I think people, like, just totally just dismissed that championship.
That's why I'm saying this one would really, it would make things interesting, you know?
Dude, I think, too, he's like, you know, he talks about he doesn't want to exit the game when, like, you know, he's kind of like forced out, like he clearly doesn't have it. I think he's still, like, from what we're seeing, years away from being at the point where he's, like, averaging, like, 6 points a game and, like, clearly. Like, you remember, like, when Shaq was just hopping teams to teams and it was clearly done?
The Cavs.
Like, like, he still looks years away. Like, he's showing no signs of being that. Like, even if his numbers are a little bit down. It's not like he's, like, averaging 6 points a game.
He's averaging over 20 points a game in the playoffs. He's averaging almost a triple-double. Like, he's been unbelievable. It was funny, Mikey. I said to Bob the other day when we were filming that episode of Bob DeSports that he was mentioning before, I was like, you know what's so funny to me is, like, we'll watch, like, highlights of LeBron and be like, oh, man, that's crazy. Or, like, we'll watch him playing. To think that he's watching us just shanking golf balls, and it's just like, man, what a drop from, like,
crazy
what he's doing to what we're doing, and yet he's still watching, which is crazy to me to, like, think about. You know,
we've just been sending our meals back and forth. Like, I'll have breakfast and I'll just send a video of what I'm eating, and then he'll just send randomly, like, what he has that night or what he has that morning. It's the greatest back and forth. And I'll tell you another thing.
Bob?
What's that?
Is he a clean eater?
Yeah, I got to shout out Chef D. He's got a chef. She's from Jersey. And this, oh my God, the stuff that she,
really?
That she made him, bro, she made him this chicken Caesar wrap, like, sub, and then with sweet potato fries. But it all looks so fresh. And you think with the calories that he's burning, like, it looks like he eats clean, but he could have, like, a sandwich, no problem. He doesn't have to worry about the bread with how much calories they probably burn in an NBA game.
Oh, my God. By the way, you know what's so funny? Is if you offered Bob anything in the world, I think I would make the claim a personal chef would be almost amongst the top of anything that you could ever offer him. I don't think, and he would enjoy it. Like, he would be the kind of guy, he'd be sitting at the table just watching this chef create his lunch with so much eagerness. It'd be so fucking funny.
On TikTok, I follow all these, like, personal chef accounts where they cook for, and, like, I follow, like, 10 different of them and see what they're doing. And I like to see, like, you know, they go to the grocery store and then come back and they have their own setup. And I think that's so cool. That, and then I will say a driver wouldn't be far behind because I just don't like driving. I want to be in the back seat and not even know we're driving. You know, D, I always talk about one of those Sprinter vans. You know, Sprinter vans, Mikey, like the Mercedes ones where in the back.
Yep.
You don't even know that you're driving. Like, it's like a TV setup.
Yep.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But let's go to Mikey, buy or sell.
Yeah, I'm going to buy. I thought it was a change that they made this year. I'll stick with the NFL draft theme. I thought cutting the first round picks from 10 minutes to 8 minutes made all the difference in the world. I thought the first round was the smoothest, most non-dragged out first round. Obviously, it worked to perfection. It was a brilliant move. It consolidated everything. It made the obvious, like the Mendoza pick, like everything just flowed so much better, I thought. So hats off. They made a good decision there. I thought that was really, really well done and good moving forward for the NFL, because it was just too ridiculous, the first rounds, when you knew the picks, who the picks would be. Not this year so much, obviously, because after Mendoza, it was very crazy. But just a good decision to cut that, the timing down on the picks in the first round. I thought it was really good.
I agree. It moved so much quicker. Mikey, did you see the video of his ringtone?
Fernando Mendoza? No, what is it?
It's the funniest thing. It's like it was like the corniest ringtone of all
time. It's like that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, it was so funny. Oh, you guys, he's
something else.
Quirky guy.
Yeah, he's something else. That kid.
I'll tell you what, though, he's going to be a good player for a long time.
You think he'll do well out there?
He's the kind of guy who's going to study. He's going to put in the work. He's going to train. If he doesn't make it, it's because either an injury or something, or he doesn't have it. But it looks like he does have it. And there's no one I feel like as a young prospect that I'd want more than someone like that, who you know is going to put everything. He's not going to be distracted with the off field issues. Like, he is going to be 100% dialed in. So, you know, some of these young guys, you don't know. There's a lot of like allure and glamour that come with being a first pick. I don't think with this guy you have to worry about that. He's like a Peyton Manning kind of style guy, where he's just going to go to show up. He's going to be the first guy at the facility. He's going to be the last guy there. He's going to be studying tape. So I think he's like the perfect ideal guy that you want coming up the ranks as like the leader of your team, because no one's going to work harder. I truly believe that. That to me is like a good sign, man.
Yeah. It felt like this, and I don't think it's going to be the case with next year with how good it's going to be. Didn't this draft class, this NFL draft night, kind of sneak up on you? Like there wasn't like a lot of hype building up to it.
100%. I said that in the chat last night when we were streaming. I remember vividly like some of these old drafts, like the Baker Mayfield, Saquon Barkley, Rosen, and Darnold draft. I remember a week leading up to it, there was so much buzz. Who was going to be the first off the board? Who was going to be taken? And like, there was so much around it. I also don't remember, and this could be just me not knowing ball, but I don't remember the NFL draft happening currently while like coinciding with NBA and hockey playoffs at the same time. So it kind of was like tough to follow along, because there were so many other things going on at the time of the draft.
Yeah, I tweeted out on like Monday or Tuesday, Bob. I literally said, feel like the NFL draft really snuck up on us this year. This is the most meh I've felt about the draft in a while. Maybe that's because the class isn't the greatest. Maybe it's because the Bears aren't picking in the top 10, which they usually always are. So, yeah, I agree completely with that. I agree completely with that.
Yeah, it. Joe, you know what videos popped up? When we were in LA, Mikey, my first apartment didn't have any AC, so it was just a sweat box in there. There's videos of us watching the draft with this AC unit that I got that isn't working, and me and you are dripping sweat watching the NFL draft. But next year, I'd like to think, is going to be a different ballgame. You think Jeremiah Smith will go like first, or you think it'll end up being Arch?
When the Titans took Carnell Tate at 4 overall, I said something like, well, Jeremiah Smith, they should just name him the commissioner of the NFL if Tate's going 4 overall. And that's not a knock on Carnell Tate. Just Jeremiah Smith, to me, is the best player in college football. It's just a matter of, obviously, the quarterback. So I do think Arch is going to have a big, I think I'm high on Texas this year. I think Texas is going to be very good. I think they're going to finally get over a little bit of that hump with Sark and with Arch. And I think, again, Arch, people got to, this is, last year was Arch's first full season as a starter. That was his first full season. He's got the tools, bro. He's got the tools. And I think, listen, the Jets could get away with something really special next year's draft, depending how they do this year. But Smith is going to be great. Arch is going to be great. Colin Simmons is going to be in that draft. There's going to be some – that next year's draft is just going to be unbelievable.
It felt like Dante
Moore, it's going to be unbelievable.
First round, it felt like every player that was being selected was from Ohio State. It was like –
it's crazy.
It was insane.
And Miami. Miami, that was the most Miami guys I – Miami used to dominate the draft. It made me so sad they didn't win it all because you see all the guys – same thing with Ohio State. It's like you see all these players going off the board. It's crazy. It's
like Ohio State got caught in that just perfect storm last year where they had to play Indiana and Miami in back-to-back games. You're playing the two teams that played for the national championship, and it was just Ohio State had great players, but they, you know, just not good, a good enough team overall. The team just wasn't there. Again, first-year starting quarterback, it happens. But the draft, again, I next year's draft class is just going to be insane. It's the quarterbacks coming out, the skill position guys. It's going to be unbelievable next year.
Who's the number two quarterback after Arch? Right now, way too early.
I would say probably Dante Moore from Oregon. I would imagine
behind us in the UFC. We saw him. Remember?
Yeah, that was so funny.
Who, Dante Moore?
Yeah,
he was at the. It was pretty cool to see him. Yeah.
Which one? Oh, that was at a different.
Vegas. I think it was in Vegas or Miami.
So casually, just sitting there. It was Vegas.
Vegas, yeah.
And now you know who's sitting behind him, who's been in college for 20 years, Dylan Raiola. The quarterback from Nebraska transferred. Yeah. Another guy's just been in college football forever, it feels like. But
it is funny. The Jets, too, because they have the Colts pick. So I think the Colts will have a really big down year. So the Jets will have that pick. They'll have their own pick. And my friends were, like, going nuts that, you know, we had such a great draft. Just one more tank year. Just one more that if the Jets just keep Geno Smith as your quarterback, don't go get a quarterback. Stay right where you're at. Mm-hmm. Just give it one more year, and then they could either trade their picks for a fucking Joe Burrow or somebody, have some fun with it, or, you know, we'll see. So it should be interesting. So
you're hoping for a tank?
Yes, one more tank. With this draft coming out, give me one more tank, and then they're loaded with draft picks. They have, you know, position guys now that can play. You know, they got to beef up the defense.
Would you be upset if they were like a playoff team this year?
Yes, very much so.
Come on. Yeah,
no, that's absurd. The playoffs? Man.
No. That would be terrible. There is no, Bob, there is no
way. That is absurd. You wouldn't want your team to be a playoff contender.
There is no way if the Jets pulled like a Bears and out of nowhere won the division and you're going to the wild and you're hosting a wild card game that you wouldn't be jacked up for that. There's just no way.
You want to watch your team win.
But I know, well, like if they're like playing an away game in like a wild game that I know they're just going to lose, I will be rooting against the Jets next year. 100%. I'm the biggest tank advocate of all. If I was the GM or the owner of the Jets or teams, I would be all for the tank.
Well, the thing with that is like the Jets this year is like the problem with rooting for them. You're going to root for them. They're your team.
Correct.
But the problem is like, you know, that there's nothing good that could come from a Geno Smith renaissance year. There's nothing good that could come of that. Because Geno Smith is not the long-term answer quarterback.
Maybe
you need Geno the high
Smith
pick.
Pulls a Sam Darnold this year and just goes off.
Yes, 1 year. I'm saying long-term for the Jets. It's not a good thing if he has like this renaissance year where they win all these games. It's not long-term. But it's fucked up because like as a fan, you're going to root for them. Like if they're winning games, you're going to get excited. You're going to get sucked in. You're going to root for them. And then, you know, they're going to break your heart. It happens
to
me every year.
Mikey, with his fandom of the Jets, it's been like several years where I've seen it like the beginning of the season, like with Favre or with Rodgers, when they had Rodgers. And he was like so excited. And then Rodgers like tore his Achilles like the first game.
Yeah, but that was
so he was like, all right, it's done. It's like there's been multiple years where like the Jets season has been over by week 5 or 6.
The Aaron Rodgers week 1 Achilles tear was the epitome of Jets fan misery. That
was awful.
It was the microcosm of everything that Jets fans have dealt with in one night. That was the most insane. I legitimately got almost sick to my stomach because as much as I really don't care about the Jets, I do care about people who are Jets fans because I'm around a lot of them. Bob is one of them. And that was the most insane gut-wrenching. I was sick to my stomach. I really was. Like, and you know me, Joe. Obviously, I was so glad to see Aaron Rodgers get the fuck out of Green Bay and get out of town, because he'd been killing me for years. He'd been killing me. And people would think like, oh, you know, you should have been happy. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I was sick to my stomach over that.
Mikey,
I was
sick to my stomach. As somebody who's not biased for you, aren't Jet fans so much more digestible than Giant fans?
Well, there's one Giant fan in particular that literally, I never had an issue with the New York Giants growing up. I almost, like, if the Bears were out of it, I would root for the Giants. They're a local team, no issue with them. This guy is so, no. Dickie's not bad when it comes to the Giants. He's very negative on a lot of things with the Giants. He always says, like, this isn't the right, you know what I mean? Like, he's not, yeah. He's very much, like, he's harsh on them. This other guy, every draft pick they make, oh, this is a masterclass draft class. Oh, what a move this is. Oh, this is the best. He makes me hate. You don't know him. You've never met him, but it's my dear friend Sal, who I've told you about many times. He's a huge Yankee fan, which you would love. He's a Yankee. He's the ultimate Yankee rider. He's up there with you, Yankee rider. Wow. 100%. He makes me hate the fucking New York Giants because of how obnoxious he is about the Giants and the masterclass of this one and that one and the other one. Everything they do is the best thing, and every move they make is the right one. He makes me hate the New York Giants, and I tell my other Giants friends, I go, I'm sorry, but this guy makes me hate them now. I just hate him.
I really hope people don't think of me like that as a Packers fan, because I am pretty critical on my team when they're not.
You're very critical. No, he's not. He's never. He's very rarely critical about anything that they do. And another thing that bothers me about Giant fans is they've had it so good. You've won three Super Bowls. Like, if you're my age, you've seen them win three fucking Super Bowls, man. I'm just trying to get my hands on one. Mikey, I want to see one Lombardi, Bob.
I have.
Bob hasn't even seen playoffs from the Jets in how long?
Well, I mean, he did go to back-to-back AFC title games.
I have that issue with Eagle fans. I think Eagle fans have it seen, so.
They have.
It's like the world is falling down on them. Now, maybe they could say that with me with the Yankees, but if Eagle fans hadn't won since 2009 and here you are in 2026, like,
yeah,
they still, it's like the world is crashing down last year after they just won.
They've won two Super Bowls in the last decade. That's not enough. Yeah. I'm trying to see one. I'm trying to see fucking
if you're
one.
You're like someone who's a Patriots fan. You can never, ever.
Oh, another fan. Yeah, another team. You can't.
Because it's
nothing.
like in your lifetime, you've seen more winning than multiple franchises combined will ever see in their.
And by the way, they were in the fucking Super Bowl again
last
year.
Crazy.
Like, what are we talking about here? This team is, you know, it's. That's a whole another can of worms with what's going on in New England. With that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, that's wild.
Just insane, man.
Well, the thing is with the Vrabel thing, they came out with the statement so fast. Like right when it happened, they're like, this is ridiculous. And it's like, rather than just like, hold on. Now, you know what I think Russini can do? I saw Big Cat talking about it, and I completely agree. She now doesn't need ESPN. Like now she can turn around. I'm sure she's, you know, in a very low point. She can make something out of it and now start like an independent thing, like go to a bar stool or start up a podcast.
Yeah, 100%.
She can capitalize.
But by the way, like, have you seen the clips of the way this woman talked about her husband?
Brutal.
Like, what a fucking clown. Like, what an absolute clown. Oh, she would rip him. She'd rip him like, well, if my husband was good looking, I'd post more pictures of him and things like she said this on national TV. Like, and that's not the only thing she said. And my God, like just, oh my God, just
poor
disgusting,
man.
Dude. Disgusting.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. People be like, oh, it's a Jersey thing. Like it's how, you know,
no,
bro,
no.
It's not. Like
no.
That's
my buddy's
tough.
Wives don't talk like that. Like joking around your friends is one thing, but on national fucking TV, come
I bet you fucking Sal does.
Sal's a bachelor. He lives the bachelor life. He's out in Cali. He's living his best life.
First time I've ever heard of Sal.
I've brought him up before. He never. He always somehow missed the timing for the Audi Club trips. That was like going to be. But one day, hopefully, we'll get him there, and you'll see firsthand. He's something else.
Go to the D man. The D man on the buy or sell.
I'm going to sell this week, and I think it might be one of the most fun picks you can make when placing a wager. But also just the most, I got fucking dismantled this week by this single bet. The no runs first inning wager in baseball.
Nerfy.
The Nerfies, dude. Let me tell you something. It gets you jacked up. I've never watched a pregame baseball, like, get ready for the first pitch. I put a play on the Texas Rangers the other day for a no-run first inning. Mikey, I'm not joking. Kurtz went up to bat. The first pitch of the game was a home run. The first pitch. You want to talk about losing before you even got a chance to settle in? Now, I will say, if you like to, like, either know if you win or lose quick, then yeah, maybe that's for you, because you don't have to sit through a 3.5-hour baseball game just to lose in the ninth inning because closers can't finish. But I'm telling you right now, it happened again 2 days ago, or yesterday, was it? Yesterday, I took the Mariners no runs first inning, okay? Same thing. The second person at bat, home run, over. It didn't even get to the middle of the inning. And it's like, you can't even, like sit down and just salvage the play, because you're on pins and needles. One hit, you're like, okay, this could do it. I don't have the stomach for it. I'm not going to be doing it anymore. I'm selling that bet. And I couldn't also, if I did the yes runs first inning, it would be like pop fly, yeah, ground out, then strike out inning.
Nerfy to me, there's one time to do a Nerfy. It's if you're in a group of people and you just want action with the fellas and you're out and you want a quick popper because you got like a four-leg parlay in, and like you got to go through all that, but like you want a quick hitter, you do the Nerfy with the boys, you all ride it, and it's fun because it's like, you know exactly what you got to do. You got to get those six out. Every out you go nuts for every single out. But yeah, you're right, Joe. I mean, it's a dream killer. Very quickly it can be.
Dude, you know, the thing is, that's crazy. I didn't even have like a lot placed on the wager, but like I was like at odds. Like every pitch, I was like on pins and needles. Well, the first one I had one pitch. It didn't even get to the second pitch. But it's like I think like normally through, like, if you take a game, like say you take a football game or whatever, like you have ebbs and flows, so you can kind of settle into the pick. You can enjoy it. There's good moments. With this, there's just like, it's there and it's gone.
That's it.
It's like taking a first quarter of any game. I just don't have, I don't have the guts to do that. I don't, because it's like, you can't settle in. You can't ride the wave. It's just done.
I've been loving the Prize Picks NBA less thans on the total score, and you gotta have the stomach for it. But it's a fucking grind because they could just put points up in bunches. They don't slow it down like half court basketball. It's just,
well, that one you had yesterday, that Banchero, I thought for sure looked so good. He had like four points after half. And then in the third quarter, he had like 12 points in the third quarter.
That sucked. Did Brunson go over 19?
I didn't look.
Cat had a big game yesterday. Had a triple double. I know that.
I had a Prize Picks play that I went last night. I took Karl Anthony Towns rebounds over. He hit.
Well,
he had
10. He landed on 10.
I took over 9.5. Okay. I took Jalen Brunson and Jalen Johnson. 4 3-pointers made collectively, which I thought is a fun one.
That
hit
very
right
fun.
On the number. It hit four. And then I had the Alexander Walker less than points, rebounds, assists. He went under. So I needed McCollum just to get another 7 points. I would have hit, but he did not.
I tell you what was nice last night, Bob, was hitting that main event for UFC in a sleeper fashion. Like it was a rocking chair.
He was a dog.
Never
too,
a doubt. He was a dog, and he dominated Sterling from start to finish. I think he lost maybe the third round. I think he lost, but he dominated. That was a lot of fun, because I put that out to everybody. I really didn't want to lose that one because we put it out to everybody.
It's hard for me to get up for those Apex fights. You know, when it's at the UFC Apex, it just doesn't have the juice as these other fights. You know what I mean? It's just different. But Mikey, great pick nonetheless.
Yeah, Mikey, to your point with putting up the Prize Picks, I don't ever really put picks out on, like, so when I put the pick out and people are like, I'm riding it and stuff, and you know you're doing the live stream, for me, it's like the biggest thing is like, I just want the play to have a chance going towards the end, which it did. It was right up until the end. Like, if people wrote, and if you did a flex play, you still would have come out okay. But like the worst thing that you can hope for is like you put out the play and like by halftime it's just gone.
You're crushed. Yeah.
It's like you feel like, I don't know how you do it, Mikey, because like you put out picks, it's like it's like you're not even rooting for yourself. You're rooting for people, and it's brutal.
It's tough with people's money. I got a taste of it, of Mikey's world, where I hit like – these are lineups that we have to put in for Prize Picks. So it's not even like I'm just putting a single game. I hit like four straight lineups.
Yeah,
so
you're
four
straight
parlays.
Insane.
The Banchero one doesn't hit yesterday, and I get a DM, and the guy's like, what a fucking stupid play, Bob. It's like, dude, I just hit – four parlays.
People are volatile.
You're only as good as your next one, Bob. It's That's right. It's true, but it's so true. But I will say too, Joe, like there is nothing when you take a more than in one of these NHL playoff games and you get the empty netter to hit. It is, that is, I'm putting that up there with the top gambling wins that you could get. There is nothing more electric. The other night, that one more than came in on a puck on an empty netter with 20 seconds. The puck was rolling. It was rolling on its side. It rolled the full length of the ice and curved into the goal. There is nothing like the playoff hockey.
Or it's almost as good. Say if you have a more than like 6.5. And it's 3-2 and the team pulls the goalie and scores in like the dying seconds to force overtime. And you're like, I don't even have to watch
overtime.
You
don't even have to watch it.
It's a win.
You don't even have to watch
that
it.
That is so a much fun ride.
So much fun.
And NHL playoffs, I mean, whether you follow the NHL or not, it's fun. And right now there's so many, like the first round is the most fun because you have four slates of games going on. And it's just a little like last night I took the Wild over Dallas and it went.
Oh
to
my
overtime.
God. Overtime. Yeah. And they tied it late too. The Wild. They're great. The NHL playoffs are just, I went on the tangent about it last year and I still can't get over how good they are. They're just the best. They're so good. Every game I could watch. It doesn't matter who's playing.
There's so much more fighting this year too. Like there's brawls left, right, and center. It's crazy.
You know who I feel like I is in the playoffs every single year. I see them playing
NHL wise.
Yeah, every year, and it's the one
Avalanche.
The Avalanche, yeah, the Dallas Stars, I feel like there's always a Dallas Stars game going on in the playoffs.
The Dallas Stars are I feel like every year, Joe, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're the resident hockey guy. I feel like they're a favorite, a top three favorite to win the cup every single year for like the last 10 years, it feels like to me.
I mean, they've been a playoff team for a while. I mean, they might have had a little bit of a stretch where they weren't, but like I remember even going back into like the early 2000s, they were always a powerhouse. They were always a good team with Marty Turco and Brett Hull when they won this. Like they've just been good for a long time. And it's a fun place. I went to a Dallas Stars game. They don't sit down. They stand up almost the entire game. It's like you sit down and you can't watch the game.
That was like us. Remember we were at the Chiefs Texans game and it's like 2 degrees out. I'm like, yo, are these guys gonna fucking sit? Like this?
Yeah, Arrowhead is everything it's advertised as in terms of noise. It's fucking loud.
They were having a shit year. It's against they're playing the Texans, frigid cold, and nobody's seated. It's like fuck.
Bobby, let me tell you about protecting yourself a little bit, though, okay? Because if you're going to one of these games, you know, there's those pirates out there. They're trying to steal your data. You got to keep yourself protected. Going online without ExpressVPN, our sponsor today, The Brilliantly Dumb Show, is like leaving your laptop unattended at the coffee shop while you run to the bathroom. You just wouldn't do it. Most of the time, you're probably fine. But what if it's that one day you come out of the bathroom and your laptop is gone? Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, etc., your online data is not secure. Any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data, passwords, bank logins, credit card details, etc. It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack someone. Just cheap hardware is needed. A smart 12-year-old could do it. So that is why ExpressVPN is ready to protect you. Lowest prices ever. Plans start now at just $3.49 a month. That's less than a gallon of gas right now. Super secure. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. It works on every device, phone, laptop, tablet, and more, so you could stay secure across the board, everything you're doing. This is something you got to get, especially, you know, once you got all these devices going, your kids' devices, all this, you got to protect
umbrella coverage your whole family. Keep them safe. Keep yourself safe. Keep your data safe, because everything now goes through the phone. We all know that. So secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/brilliantly. That's expressvpn.com/brilliantly to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months. expressvpn.com/brilliantly.
Very nice, Michael. Heavy load for Michael today. He got 30 carries today.
Give me the ball, Bob.
Let's go. Let's get into the Ask Bob. I saw, like, I tuned into the live stream last night. I saw Jensen asked, telling Cutsy for ones. I don't know if Cutsy's going to take that one, but Cutsy, we will start with you for the Ask Bob. 2 for 2 last week. Had to have it. Let's keep it going.
I'm going to save the Jensen one for another time, maybe. Because I'm going to do a little different segment. We're going to do Bobby flags this week, where I'm going to show you a flag of a country, Bob, that's and I would awesome. Like you yeah, to give smart. Me the name of the country. Now, I do think there were some that I were going to take, and I was like, I don't know. I try to take one that I think is most people I feel like would know this, but I don't know. Mikey, you'll have to tell me after. So, sure. Bobby, without further ado, we have Bobby flags. Name this country.
Oh, Mexico.
No. Oh, no! Okay. Okay. When he paused for
yeah, I was very concerned. I was very make concerned. Sure.
I will say.
Now, I think that was one of the easier ones, and I will go back to the well for Bobby Flags in the future, because there are a couple that I wanted Bobby to ask Flags. You, but I was like, I don't know. Where do we start with this? So this one was on the easier side.
That is a really good idea, because there are some things that I know I could botch. By the way, for the Bob HQ YouTube channel, we're going to be doing that stuff like spelling bees with like the whole stage of everybody. There's a lot of that type of stuff we're going to be doing on Bob HQ.
Can I show you the one I was going to show you and see yeah. if you get like just to get an idea? This is the one, Mikey, I was going to do. Okay. This one.
Yeah, Bob ain't getting that one, dude.
That was the one I was gonna do, and I transitioned to Mexico.
I gotta be honest. I don't know if I know that one.
You know that one, Michael. You know that one.
I gotta be honest. I don't know if I do. Soviet Union?
No, Bob.
Soviet.
Mikey, you know this one.
China?
No, it's not. Correct, Bob. That is China.
Is that China's flag?
That is the People's Republic of China, Bob.
Is it?
Good job, Bobby.
Is
yes. Yeah. Now still 3 for my last 3.
You know what? That you can have that almost as a bonus.
Yeah, it's pretty good, Bob. It's pretty good.
I was gonna do that one, and I was like, you know what? We'll start
China.
Maybe Bob's a flags guy. I think Bob is a visual person. I do think that like Bob like does better with like things when he sees it. Like he has a better memory bank than just if you ask him a random question.
Could very well be. All right.
That's a good showing.
Yeah, I'd love to nail another one. But Mikey, let's see what you got.
I had the same idea, but not with flags, but to show Bob something and be like, what is this?
I had the same thing,
but it's going to be Bobby animals. I was just going to show him a picture of an animal and have him name the animal. Bob, I'd love for you to tell me what animal this is.
Oh, there's not a world where he's gonna get that, Michael. Not
you know, a, you know, because you're
of
a fucking
horse. I would bet an absurd amount of money he has no idea.
I got it. For the people on the audio, you gotta take a look at. I have absolutely no.
You want to guess something,
clue.
Bob?
I have nothing. I have not. I have no guess. Mike, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Would you have known if I showed you before you knew? Would you have known what it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. So is this bad?
Not terrible.
It's, no, it's, not like you can't be like universally like roasted for it. No.
Okay.
No.
Go ahead,
but it's an anteater.
It's an anteater. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Those long the snout that they have they utilize to suck up ants. Is it also known as an aardvark? Is that the other name for it?
I don't know if an aardvark and an anteater is the same thing. That's a good question.
I think it might be aardvark.
Aardvark versus anteater.
Oh, it's slightly different.
Distinct
slightly
species.
Different. Yeah, it's different. But it's very similar in the setup. You see the long snout?
I do.
Dude, we got to we got to that sucks. I remember I sent Forrest Galante a thing from LA one time, our animal expert. I was like, Forrest, you got to see this fucking thing. It was from my patio.
Oh, it's a possum?
And I'm like, and then he calls me, he's like, fucking possum, Bob. It's a fucking possum.
What'd you think? Up. It was some kind of rare species.
Yeah. No fucking idea.
It was near a garbage can. Yeah. He's like, there's some crazy creature out there.
Yeah. Good concept you guys had, though. I think
I like the pictures. Concept. I think the pictures are going
to
work.
Now, the only thing is, if you're listening to it on the audio, that makes it a little bit tougher.
Correct.
Head on over to YouTube.
Yeah, well, that might drive the YouTube.
Head on over to YouTube, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, boys. Time to get on over to our top five. Now, people have an issue with blunt rotations prior. We took a long break from blunt rotations, but they're back. We have blunt rotations, top five. Then you guys like, bro, it's getting hard to keep coming with these. I know you could do anything, but it's like, fuck. Like, Mikey helps out. He'll send some ChatGPT ones, but
yeah,
some of
maybe
those
the top like, five. We might have to change the segment eventually and do something different. I don't
just
know.
Keep showing Bob pictures of shit and just have him talk about it. I think that if we all got clouded and did that for an entire episode, wow. I think that episode would go fucking nuclear, dude.
That's
it would
a Bob
fucking,
HQ special.
100%.
Like, we just print out a bunch of flashcards.
Oh, dude, and just show him shit like a fucking acorn and be like, Bob, what is this?
That's
be
tough.
Like. That's a hazelnut.
That's really fucking tough, man. That's really fucking tough.
Dude, by the way, another week without alien disclosure. It just is, it's every week now.
The top five.
People enjoyed the alien talk, by the way. I saw
they did. It's fascinating. It's fascinating stuff. Again, they said this week they're going to declassify again, they said. But they've been saying it for weeks. Just fucking tell us already, please.
You know
Mikey's
what I
dialed in on. You're hanging on pins and needles to find out.
I am, Joe. I want to know.
I've accepted the fact that I think in life, it's like our knowledge, the common man's knowledge, it's like the ozone layer. You only see so much, and there's That's so right. much above you that you have That's no right. idea what's going on in the world. And That's I've just right. come to grips with that. That's never going to change. That we're
That's
just
right.
we're only privy to so much information as they allow us to know.
They keep saying the same thing over and over. The people that claim to be in the know, they keep saying, like, when it does come out, it's going to be very unsettling to a lot of people. Like, it's going to unsettle a lot of people when it comes out. I'm
Who
waiting.
Is saying that, though? Who's saying
The
that?
People that claim that question. They already know. The people that
bro,
claim
who
they
are
already
these
have
people,
knowledge.
Michael?
Who are these people? They're,
and how do they access the knowledge?
I couldn't go into it because there's so many different people from so many different areas in the government, in science, and NASA.
Like they worked
these...
in the field?
Yes,
they...
yes, okay. yes, 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 okay. exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know if you were saying they worked in the field or they had an encounter, an experience.
Well, there's people like that also. There's military personnel that, you know, they fly, you know, Air Force guys that claim that they've seen, you know, in those videos, that video got
why
released.
Not,
the one
why
guy.
Not? Why not just do a walk-in around Area 51 with a camera and just show the world what?
I don't even know if it's Area 51. I like that's a whole just the general blanket of information. Just
you know,
let's hear.
Do you
it.
Know
let's
that
hear
if
it.
You try to climb the fence, they'll shoot you. They'll gun you down.
Yeah, it's probably like Secret Service. Like they.
Yeah, I mean, I would never try and break in.
But I'm saying, if you try to get into Area 51, they'll shoot you on the spot. It's fucking
dude, I saw a.
Let's never do that, boys.
You know that.
Well, no, I'm not advocating to do that. I'm just saying it's crazy.
What's that shooting at the White House last night. Oh, it made me really realize, like the UFC with the way, you know, I'm sure security is gonna be so tight. I'm kind of happy to not be going. Like I'm totally at peace with not going to that. I'm gonna be on vacation during those dates, so I can't go. As
oh, you're done. You're out.
Yeah, no, out.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that means we're out too, Mikey.
By the way, I might go to the one in Jersey in 2 weeks, man, because I might just buy a ticket because the card is just it's that good. The card's
we're
going to
be there just before. We're going to be there right before it.
Mikey, it's not a definite no yet. It's not a definite no. Would you stay, D?
Well, how much longer do we need to stay? That's the question.
It would be 3 extra days.
That's tough.
I'm already seeing high school friends prior to the New York trip, so it would be a long.
I don't think I can swing that. Listen, I'll say this much: if we weren't traveling as much as we are next month, I could maybe.
Well,
swing
here's it. What you do, Bob: you get 4 tickets from Dana, you give them to me. Okay, I'll hold them. If you guys decide to stay over, I'll keep them. Okay, and I'll make sure that you guys are taken care of.
Who would get the nod? Luna Lou, Dickie Gass.
I would take P. I mean, P's got to be. UFP. UFP's got to be at the top of the list. And you know what? I would probably hit my brother. I would probably get my brother. He's a big UFC guy. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's unlike anything.
Yeah, maybe doable. All right, we're going to go into our top five blunt rotation of Barstool Sports. So any Barstool Sports personalities, who is in your blunt rotation? The D-Man won last week. I came second. It was a really tight one. Mikey V third. Joe, where would you like to go?
I think I'm going to go third again. I don't think there's a definitive number one.
I'm going to take one. So Mikey, you got two. You got to go John Gruden. It's got to be Gruden at at one for sure. Dude, you know how cool it would be to fucking smoke a blunt with Gruden? Like, that would be fucking.
Does Gruden get down like that?
I'm sure he dabbles. Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. That would be
so intense. I don't know.
Yeah, but he's got different waves. Like, it's not like, you know, imagine like smoking a doobie and fucking watching film with him. That'd be the funniest shit of all time. He's amazing.
If you get him on a doob, just give him a whiteboard and a dry erase marker and let him go to work. Oh, man. Let him draw up a couple things on that whiteboard while he's in the clouds.
What a treat. But there are other great names that you could take too. I just think you got to go Gruden. Mikey, over to you.
I'll keep it local with a dear friend. I know he's you know, he's been sober for many years, and God bless him, good for him. But I will take Jersey Jerry.
It's a good pick. The Don.
I was going to take him.
The D-Man.
All right, I'm going to go Barstool Big Cat.
It's the right play.
And then I am going to go with Paul Bissonnette, Mr. Biz Nasty.
Over to you, Michael.
I had him 2 weeks in a row now, Biz.
I mean, I gotta take Finer. You know, I gotta take
Stu's a
fun. I am such an idiot. I did not. Stu that Finer. Is maybe that's top five easy. I forgot to put him on my list. Shame on me.
Like, I've been talking to Stu for fucking weeks. We're trying to get a dinner because I just want to go out with the guy and just.
By the way,
just
we did, and it was electric.
I know.
So now it's back to Bob.
Yeah, how the fuck do you leave? Yeah, that is just like because he's not like in the mix as much on Barstool. Like,
to be honest, Bob, I didn't have him on my. I had him like. I had him as on there, but I didn't think of him like as a top. He is a top tier.
Oh collection. Yeah, no doubt about it. All right. So give me Dave. So I'm going with Portnoy, and then after that, I want PFT. Okay. Back over to Michael.
This is tough because I'm trying to think.
They got a lot of good personality.
They do. This is going to be a wild card. I'm going to take. Give me Frank Fleming. I'm going to take Frank the Tank.
Oh, I was going to take him.
Give me Frank Fleming.
Oh, man.
I was going to take him. Well, Mikey's got a good little list here going. All right. I'm going to go with Francis Ellis.
Yeah, good one.
Mm-hmm.
He's funny.
He is.
He's a riot. Morning jog.
And then I'm going to go with another character, dude. And I really think this guy's hysterical. I'm going to go with Mincy. I think he would be
funny. Oh, yeah.
Hysterical.
he's something
he's
else.
He's got one of the greatest. The video of him, and he's dead serious. The video of him opening at that, like, magic.
The bobblehead?
It's one of the.
It's at the Pelicans game. There's shit flying everywhere.
It's getting on the guy next to him. It is one of the all-time funniest videos. It's so good. Yeah, not a bad pick.
I'm gonna go with the new resident hardo at Barstool. I'm gonna go with Kadick, Mike Kadick.
He's good too. Say. Yeah.
Yeah, like
Mike, you got a good list going on there, man.
Yeah, they got good. I know who I'm going to go here. I think he'd be awesome to smoke with. Give me Trent Ryan.
Yeah, he was on my list too. Fuck.
And then give me Ryan Whitney.
That's a good one.
Oh.
Mikey?
What's the matter?
No, I left a good. There's one on the board. That's a no-brainer.
Oh, okay. I just had my person. They just popped out of my head. Who the fuck was I going to take?
Oh my God. Just left a golden egg on the board. It's tough, man. They got good personalities.
They do. I'm gonna take this guy because I this is one guy, like, if you said, like, if you wanted to do like a little, like a mini show with to talk about college ball, I would take him. I'd take Brandon Walker because I would talk to him about college football. So I'm gonna take Brandon Walker, my last
big,
pick.
Big ball knower.
I'm gonna go with a guy who's a bit of a liability, but I think he's fucking hysterical. I'm gonna go with Rico Bosco.
He's a character.
But you know who else was close for me? I really like that Dana Beers guy.
Is really good guy.
Yeah, I really like him.
Really good guy. Like him.
Bro,
and then you still got Frank.
Who's the golden egg, Bob?
Keith Yandel is a huge miss. He's fucking hilarious. Keith Yandel, Roan got left off the list.
Really know him too much, Roan.
Oh, he's terrific. You know who I really like over there who does like news coverage, kind of like the KFC type thing, but he's a UFC guy. Love his UFC takes. Jack Mack. You ever see his videos come up? He does reporting on stuff.
I had Dana Beers, PFT, Marty Mush, Hank Lockwood was another. Hank was on my list too.
That's a big one.
Yeah,
I had Tate, Barstool Tate. I had on there. I had who else?
Is that just good though? Ohio State.
Mikey Betts is funny.
Stephen Che is funny too.
Stephen Che is good.
Dude, when you do think of like guys that you would really want to sit down with, like to smoke with, Mincy is a good play. Like Mincy is just a fascinating character.
Blutman's another one who apparently the guy's
Oh, yes, deck, yes,
and
yes,
he looks like yes. he smoked a few
oh,
in his
yes,
time.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
Yeah. I remember we were playing against some Chicklets, and he was just watching a college basketball game on the green. Like throughout the video, he's just sitting there watching a college.
They said he could recite. He knows, like, he's like a Rolodex of information, which is great.
God, Keith Yandel getting left off the board. Lil Sass got left off the board. Some good personalities. I really don't know who.
What's the list, Mikey?
Bob's is Gruden, Portnoy, PFT, Trent Ryan, and Ryan Whitney. I have Jersey Jerry, Stu Finer, Frank the Tank, Kadick, and Brandon Walker. Joe's got Big Cat, Biz, Ellis, Mincy, and Rico Bosco.
Yeah. I mean, it could be anybody. It really could. All right, fellas, anything else you want to get into? Nice long episode there at the Brilliant Dumb Show.
When are we seeing Mikey again? When are we seeing him again?
Is it May for the photo shoot, right?
Yeah, May 11th to the 13th.
You're coming down? Oh, that's right. You're coming down. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a busy, busy May.
Mikey was saying, Mikey, you might bring the family down. Maybe we do like Disney World or something for a day or two.
Yeah, I don't know if this one, but definitely going to happen very soon.
Luca, I don't think he would appreciate Disney World this young. So, like, I feel like it's got to wait for a little bit.
Yeah, you want to get it where they remember it.
I agree.
I
do want to do a big dinner, though. One of those.
Yeah.
Nights.
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't, like, we really don't have anything.
Now, we're going to be in New York. Bob, I was going to say one of the nights we should do a big dinner on the 6th.
Where you guys going? Shinnecock, right?
We're going to be in Long Island, but then we're going to be in the city after that. So,
okay. Yeah, I got to see my brother, too.
Yeah. Whenever.
That's not a bad play. Actually, my high school buddies, I'm going to Yankee game with them, I think, on the 1st. So we'll be in town. So a lot coming, ladies and gentlemen. That is another episode of the Brilliantly Dumb Show. As always, we will see you next time. Please smash that subscribe and like button. We'll see you next time.